A new legal strategy on doctor-assisted suicide.
Every single jurisdiction in the world that has ever legalized euthanasia, in every case, vulnerable lives have been lost. There's been people who have died who have not clearly consented to their death, or there's people who have died who have not clearly requested the euthanasia or assisted suicide. And there's no reason to believe that Canada would be any different than any of these other countries or jurisdictions.
ARPA is out with what it says a new anti-euthanasia bill should look like. On the feature interview today, lawyer Andre Schouten and executive director Mark Penega on the use of the Constitution's notwithstanding clause on this issue. In the news, the so-called bathroom bill is done, at least for this session of Parliament. We talked to one of the leading opponents of that legislation. Some big developments in the U.S. in the past few weeks, the Supreme Court ruling on gay marriage, and the biggest anti-Christian fine ever levied against a Christian business. And a look at ARPA's latest billboard contest.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
You'll recall that earlier this year, the Supreme Court threw out a section of the Canadian Criminal Code, the section that prohibits doctor-assisted suicide, as being unconstitutional. It was called the Carter case. The court said the existing law could stay on the books for a year, but that Parliament had until next spring to come up with a new law. Last week, ARPA released a draft of what that new law could look like. The draft calls on the government to invoke the so-called notwithstanding clause. That's Section 33 of the Charter, which says that Parliament may negate any court ruling that finds a law unconstitutional by overriding that ruling and reenacting the law. In other words, the law would essentially say that notwithstanding what the court said, the law would stand, hence the term notwithstanding clause. Lawyer Andre Schouten says, really, this is about a fundamental democratic principle.
If Parliament won't even consider using the notwithstanding clause, then the result is that we are ruled and governed by an unelected panel of 9 judges. That's who rules and runs this country. That's not any longer a democracy. That's some sort of constitutional monarchy where the monarch is no longer the queen, but it's actually the 9 judges at the Supreme Court of Canada.
You can read the draft legislation at a link from the Lighthouse News homepage. We've also got links up to a new easy mail feature to help you communicate with your MP and with federal election candidates. And we'll have much more on this coming up on the feature interview later in the program. Parliament has adjourned for the summer, and that means a number of bills didn't pass. One of the ones that died on the order paper was Bill 279. That was the one on gender identity. It would have amended federal laws to add the term gender identity as a prohibited ground for hate crimes and hate speech or discrimination. The concern was that this could lead to situations where women in particular could be put at risk through the forced introduction of so-called gender-neutral bathrooms, change rooms, and other shared facilities. The bill had passed the Commons, but Senator Don Plett proposed several amendments when it hit the Senate. Those amendments passed in committee, but when it went back to the full Senate, a preliminary vote undid one of them. At the end of the day, though, the Senate didn't vote on the final version of the bill with the 2 amendments that were left in it. They ran out of time, so the bill dies. Senator Plett tells me that he doesn't expect this will be the end of the discussion, though.
As sure as the sun will come up again after the next election, this will come up again after the next election. I'm sure there will be somebody on the NDP or Liberal side that will bring forward another bill. And if they do, they might be wise to bring the bill in, changing it so that the 3 amendments that I brought forward are included in it, because, of course, I would be trying to do the same thing again. But I fully expect for it to come back again.
We did a feature interview with Senator Plett on this issue back in December of last year. If you need to refresh your memory on this, the interview was part of the program called An Attempt to Force Tolerance. You can find it on the Lighthouse News homepage to scroll down through the archives. A major cultural shift to the south of us. On June 26th, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that marriage was a fundamental right that should be extended to all people, including same-sex couples. It was a split decision, 5-4 in favor. And there have been rumblings ever since that because 2 of the justices, O'Connor and Ginsburg, who both voted with the majority, had actually presided at same-sex marriages, they had made their bias clear on this before hearing the case. As such, the argument goes, they should have recused themselves from hearing it. That, of course, would have changed the outcome of the ruling. In a related story, the largest fine ever issued in the U.S. with respect to the rights of same-sex couples. a bakery in Oregon, a place called Sweet Cakes by Melissa, was hit with a $135,000 fine last month for refusing to bake a wedding cake for two women. Not only that, but the ruling expressly told them they weren't allowed to talk about the case or their objections to the ruling or any plans for an appeal. They're completely ignoring the second part of that order, and they're making the rounds of the conservative talk shows in the states. Co-owner Melissa Klein told Fox News' Sean Hannity that it was never their intention to discriminate, but as committed Christians, they simply couldn't, in good conscience, be a major part of a lesbian wedding ceremony. And yes, they are appealing.
It's ridiculous. I mean, $135,000 for politely telling somebody, I'm sorry, I can't basically participate in your event. It's mind-blowing.
The bakery has shut down, at least for now, and they've started an online crowdfunding campaign to pay the fine and fund the legal appeal. The goal was $150,000. As our program is being produced, they'd raised more than double that amount, and the money was still coming in. We've got a link to their crowdfunding site from the Lighthouse News homepage. And finally, ARPA's holding another billboard contest. You've seen some of the past winners. The one with the puppy and the baby with the caption, kill one, cruelty, kill the other, choice. Jason Bauman from the marketing company Compass Creative is one of the sponsors and judges for this year's contest. He says they're looking for creativity.
The ability that someone has to communicate a complex issue in a very simple, impacting way. Use of language, use of both written language but also graphic language, and then creativity and thoughtfulness. I mean, it's a really challenging project actually to get somebody's attention as they're flying down the road at 50 mile an hour and give them a message or interrupt their thoughts for a moment and give them something to think about as they travel on.
Details, including the rules, the prizes, and more on the ARPA homepage. Back with more after this.
The pink and blue flag display has been set up more than 20 times since the first display last October. This powerful visual display, which represents the number of lives lost through abortion annually in Canada, has been called heartbreaking, moving, and eye-opening. It is a great tool to engage your neighbors in a respectful discussion on an emotional issue in a clear and effective way. The 10,000 flag display kit is available for use for free. Email info@arpacanada.ca to book the display today.
And we're back on the program. With me on the line today, ARPA lawyer Andre Schutten from his office in Ottawa and Executive Director Mark Penninga. As you heard on the news, ARPA has made some suggestions with respect to what to do moving forward in the wake of the Carter case. And essentially, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but essentially what we're looking to do here is to say, let's invoke the notwithstanding clause and give Parliament some time, 4 years, to come up with some kind of comprehensive response to the Supreme Court ruling. Is that a pretty accurate summation?
Well, I think what we're asking here is to go even beyond that. That is to say that by invoking the notwithstanding clause, Parliament is able to say that Canada needs absolute prohibitions on assisted suicide and euthanasia. And that's something that we as a country are going to stand behind today. And it's something we'll stand behind when it's renewed 5 years from now. So the point is not just to give Parliament more time to study the issue more. The point is that this can be a law that Canada can stand behind to protect our most vulnerable citizens for many years to come.
But as I understand it, and Andre, you're the lawyer, but any law that invokes notwithstanding has to be refreshed. It can't stay on the books forever.
That's right. So in 5 years, this law that we've proposed will cease to exist unless it's renewed. It will run out. But that's why we also built into it, in the subsection 4, a mandatory review. After 4 years, Parliament will study it again. And when they study it again, they're going to come up with a recommendation to the House of Commons to review and hopefully to pass again this same law.
So essentially what we're saying is the Supreme Court was wrong and we want to embed that forever, rather than saying, as I said in the sort of intro to this, let's take some time and study this and come up with a law that does work, that recognizes what the Supreme Court said.
That's right, Al. And it's not actually that revolutionary. It was just in 2010, so 5 years ago, that every single party, all the major parties sitting in Parliament, agreed with that. They all voted down. At that time, it was Francine Lalonde's private member's bill, which would have passed a law in Canada which permitted euthanasia and assisted suicide. So the NDP, the Liberals, Conservatives, they were all together in saying that is not the direction we need to go. And we believe, as a principled organization that upholds human rights that ultimately stem from God, we believe that there's some lines that should never be crossed. They shouldn't be crossed in 2015, just like they shouldn't be crossed 4,000 years ago.
Forgive me, but it is revolutionary politically and legally because the notwithstanding clause has never been used ever since it was put into the charter. I'm not trying to argue with you, but it is quite a step to say we want to incorporate the notwithstanding clause into this particular issue and leave it there essentially forever.
You're correct. The notwithstanding clause has never been used by the federal government since the charter came into effect in 1982, but now would be the time to use it. I mean, there's no issue that needs the notwithstanding clause more than the protection of vulnerable life, and that's really what's at stake. The Supreme Court said that there is enough evidence in their opinion that proper safeguards could be passed that protect vulnerable lives sufficiently. But the evidence on that is conflicted, and in fact, every single jurisdiction in the world that has ever legalized euthanasia, in every case, vulnerable lives have been lost. There's been people who have died who have not clearly consented to their death, or there's people who have died who have not clearly requested the euthanasia or assisted suicide, and there's no reason to believe that Canada would be any different than any of these other countries or jurisdictions. And so I think Parliament has a duty, actually, I think, the Parliament has a duty bound within the Charter itself to actually invoke the notwithstanding clause here and to say, no, human life is too precious, it's too valuable to risk losing even one innocent life in order to give some other people the convenience of dying at the hands of another at some convenient place and time.
We're into a parliamentary hiatus right now. The election is coming up. We've been waiting for the government to respond to the Carter decision. We're not seeing any responses. I'm not really sure what's going on there. To either one of you, I'm suspecting we've had some discussions with MPs in terms of lobbying and stuff. Is there any chance that this proposal to invoke notwithstanding is going to get some traction, assuming the Conservatives win the election in October? Do we have reason to be optimistic, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Well, we definitely have reason to be optimistic that this idea will get traction. Andre and myself were meeting with a number of members of Parliament 3 or 4 weeks ago in Ottawa, and it was clear that they're still studying the issue. So now's the time to be giving them solid information, solid ideas, policy proposals, and legally sound draft legislation. Whether they publicly respond to it or not, the reality is that it's something that they can sit with, that it can perk through the summer, through the election campaign, and then as soon as there's a new government in place, they can take action. So that's why we right away turn this around onto our grassroots, onto our listeners, and say, hey, it's not enough that ARPA puts out a policy report or some sort of draft legislation. We need each of you to pick it up, to send it to your member of parliament and say, what do you think about this? Have you seen this draft law yet? Can you stand with us in upholding human life? And we made a new easy mail letter on our website that allows our listeners to do just that in 5-10 minutes. That's all it takes.
And of course, we've got the link to that easy mail on the Lighthouse News homepage this week, along with a link to the proposed legislation that ARP is putting forward. What's most interesting about that in terms of what I found was the preamble to that proposed legislation. But guys, I'm still a little confused because I remember when the Carter decision first came out, we were talking about the idea of what would legislation look like because Parliament had been told you've got a year to fix this. What kind of safeguards could be put in place? Now we're saying the legislation should just be a blanket prohibition, should continue what's essentially been the status quo. Somebody explain this to me.
This is the kind of issue where once you cross that line where it is okay in law for some individuals to kill others, it's logically impossible for Parliament or legislature or any court to enact suitable safeguards. And we've seen that when we look at Belgium and the Netherlands and the other jurisdictions. And that's why, ultimately, at the end of the day, although we are willing to put forward ideas for as strict safeguards as possible, at the end of the day, this is a line that simply should not be crossed. So we're going to make this call to our government to do the right thing, to not cross that line. If our government persists with crossing the line, if they say, you know, we've heard you, but we've decided we need to come up with a law that is in keeping with the Supreme Court decision, then ARPA will do whatever it can to ensure that that law is as good as it possibly can be, to protect as many human lives as can be protected.
Andre?
Parliament must consider, I think, the notwithstanding clause, give it a fair hearing, and then vote on it on the merits.
And if they don't, then we come back and say, well, if we're going to not do that, then at least let's do this.
It's a question of at what point in time we make that decision. So if we're looking at, you know, an election and a new parliament and so on, and nothing's on the table yet, that we, ARPA, the reformed community, the Christians in this country, we better be advocating for what is right and most principled. But if in the future some MPs reject what we've put out there and say we're definitely not going to do that, and here's something that they put out, then we're going to come back and say, well, wait, let's tighten this up as best we can.
Gentlemen, thank you very much.
All right.
You're most welcome, Mel.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Production manager, Brian Grimm. Technical director, Nate Boscher. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the Lighthouse News homepage. Or you can send us an email, info@arpacanada.ca. Be sure to join us again in 2 weeks for another edition of Lighthouse News.